что?
We'll find out that property law is one of the foundational, fundamental forces of all law. I think property is the most exciting area of law. Not everybody agrees with that, but I'm hoping after you take this class, you will. I'm very enthusiastic about property. I think it characterizes all of our aspirations and freedoms as human beings. Everything you can think of that touches your lives outside of your human relationships, which obviously are most important, involves property. The house you live in, the food you eat, the car you drive to work, the money you get from that job. It's all property. Ever since human beings came down from the trees, that club you used to protect yourselves and beat off those saber-toothed tigers, no, I was not around. That is property. And the law developed, the very law that we're studying developed to protect those property rights. That's what this class is about. It's about rights in property. Okay. Now, not a lot of need to take notes in my classes, and there is not a textbook, because everything is on the internet. Every class has a whole whopping bunch of slides that you can download even before the class. You have a website, and that website contains all the slides. It also contains an MP3 of the lectures. Okay? We put everything online. That being said, students who want to do exceptionally well, and I hope that's all of you, come to class. Because having your thing in the seat gets you a point on your final grade. Okay? You cannot get an A in this class unless you're here. Because you need to have your butt in the chair. Attendance, you're sitting in and out, sitting in the chair, gets you a point. Okay? The first thing you have to do to be a good law student, we're all law students in this class, is to show up. If you are not here, don't expect. Law simple. That being said, put everything up on the website. You can read along with Rob. You know how. To be able to follow this one. Okay? The website is my name, bobfriendly.org. Do not go to bobfriendly.com. I wish it was me. It used to be me. But now it's a guy in Hawaii who sells surfboards. I really do wish it was me that someday. He's a lovely gentleman, but does not really care much about property law, other than the effective helps with all circles. So go to bobfriendly.org, and that's our website with all the slides and degrees, outside readings, and all kinds of fun stuff will be. Okay?
Let's go through our first class. I don't teach a lot the first day,
because people are kind of getting their bearings, you're all coming in and getting to know each other. So, kind of give you a we'll talk a little bit about the law. We'll do a class exercise and then we'll get you home, and I know you're all excited to go out and watch stuff around the house. Okay.
Property, I think, as I said, is the most exciting area of law. And we try to make this into an adventure. It's an adventure of discovery. It's an adventure of excitement, suspense, mystery. Yes, all of that is in property. It's intellectual excitement. I promise you're going to be excited. For those of you in the first three rows, this is not like church.
guess what? People who stood up front get a little juice. I like to see your smiling faces. It makes me happy. And although I do shower, so I don't have to do big pants or something. But at the end of the day, if you sit up front, I realize that I have abused you by being in my presence so closely, so we give you an extra boost.
There'll be one on the upper function.
Okay. As I said, just a little bit about me. So you know who you're dealing with. I'm an attorney. I began my career as a trial lawyer. I tried cases primarily in federal courts. Some of my clients included Amtrak, Conrail, U-Haul, DuPont, Remington Firearms. I never lost a case in a courtroom. That's because he settled with that. I loved being a trial lawyer, but then I went on and found another law of government. I became a counsel in the state assembly, and then I was deputy attorney general of the state of New York for quite a while. I now work for the New York State Senate, counsel for the majority, in that role. I was also for 18 years a Schenectady County legislator. I was chairman and minority leader of that body. Loved politics, loved public service. I've written hundreds of laws, but I'm not terribly good about this. Pretty much that I love everything. At the end of the day, teaching is my favorite thing I do. This is the thing I get to do to have fun. Writing the bills can be fun, but not so easy. I can be reached on the cell or by email. My email again is my name twice. Remember, go bobfarley.org, not .com. That guy who sells surfboards may love you, but he's not going to respond to your emails. Okay? My cell phone number is there. It's up on the website. Okay? I'm very easygoing. Don't worry about calling me. Please don't call at 3 in the morning. It kind of bugs my wife.
Celebrating 25 years of marriage, you haven't thrown me out yet, primarily because I work 80 hours a week, but it didn't seem that much, so she says, okay, I'll take that. My wife and I met right here at SUNY Albany. Now when I was 18 years of age, it took me quite a while to get both of those 80%.
Wanted to have a job before I got married. But anyway, my teaching philosophy is very straightforward. Very simple. I succeed when you do. If you don't understand something, ask. But I will ask two things of you. First and foremost, I am partially deaf. Sorry to say that, when I was a young kid, I ruptured both my eardrums, and although they healed, they haven't healed perfectly. As a result, when there's ambient noise in the background, it might as well be speaking some language I don't know, which is pretty much everything, sometimes including English. At the end of the day, if people are talking, I can't hear. Not only can I hear the wonderful things they're going to say, but more importantly, I can't even hear to speak. So beg your indulgence and your kindness. Please keep talking to the class doing it. As a result of that, I want to be able to hear you. Our classes do not just go the full time. Those of you who have maybe four other classes understand that. I know we're scheduled for 3 delightful hours together, but we can use it. I tend to get through things faster. Okay? We'll sometimes have to go the full 3 hours if we have a very heavy workload that we have to get through. But more often than not, we don't. Okay? We're generally out of here about 1 or 2. Okay? The way that the class is structured,
is you will certainly attend. I used to take attendance, but that would take the entire 3 hours if I try to do it with you guys. I'm like, yeah. So I'm going to circulate an attendance sheet. Please only sign your name. I'll be honest, this is my man. I know you're getting a point for it. Please don't sign your name or his name is wrong. After attendance, we'll give a lecture, and then we'll take a little bit of a break and do a class exercise. Sometimes it's the case that we'll talk about other times with some other type of exercise. That's when you get them like interactive, okay? It's fun, please. You get business. During the lectures, you usually go. The lectures follow the slides, so pull the slides up off the internet before the class will be helpful to you. You only have to take notes. Everything on examination. Everything is on those slides. So if you get the slide, not at all. Examinations are mostly multiple choice. As I said, there's two. There's a midterm, there's a final. Multiple choice, there is some fill in the blank. Particularly with property law, you have to pass the fill in the blank. Final exam also contains essays. I do not expect War and Peace on essays. I actually read what you write. There's 130 kids in this class. I can't read or surrender. What I want you to know is to make an argument in the English language and discuss something about the law. I'll do that. Full credit on the happy board. Okay? Okay. Your student biography. It's important for me to get to know you. I don't like all of you. I love you. And I need to know who you are. When my classes were 22 students, that was really easy. But now that I have 130, I need to get to know you through that biography form. Because I care about all of you. I do write letters of recommendations. I do try to help you advance your career. Believe me, I want to be there and want to do it. People were there for me when I was a young kid. You know, I know some of you are not, but we shouldn't do that. But everybody needs to help you. And I want to be there for you. In order to do that effectively, I need to know who you are. And I do care about you, all of you. So, handing a biography, you get 3 points towards your final grade. Just for filling it out, telling me who your favorite sports teams are and things like that. Okay? As I said, you need to come to class. Class will begin by circulating that sheet. I need it back. Okay? There is no textbook. Go to the website. Download it. All these slides are on there. Remember, go to bobfarley.org. You're going to click it on. You're going to see this site. That's the site up there. I don't know how well you guys can see it on here. You'll click that on, you go to 421, there's 321 site too, we also teach corporations. Go to the 421 site, it has everything, it's a treasure trove. Not only does it have MP3s, not only does it have all the slides, it has the photos of people who are so intellectually curious. You can't have enough real copy for the rest of the time. But those of you who do, it has 20 readers of great authors. And so that's a great author. It's really wonderful. I do it for all of you. So please hop on that website. You can play around with it
and have fun. Okay. That's what it looks like for the MP3 page, for the lecture page. And obviously you click the little speaker, you get the MP3, you click the PowerPoint, you get the PowerPoint. Okay? Let's begin.
What's the law? Why are we talking about law? This class on property. Property and the law are intertwined. They're cousins. They grew up together. Several southern states didn't get there. The lawn property are defined to the point we can't know one without the other.
So to truly understand what property is, you need to ask the threshold question, what is the law? You want to know what the law is?
Books are treasure troves.
I got a funny story.
3 years ago, I decided my life wasn't busy enough. I was only working 4 jobs at once, so I decided I'd go back to school. Yes, Grandpa, I went to the classroom. I enrolled in Albany Law School, get a PhD in law, so I'll know all that. To go forward and teach everywhere, learn more law. Figured it's been 25 years since I was in the classroom the last time, wanted to go back to law school. Of course, I walk in with my little pen, everybody's got computers, and I say, oh my God, what am I at? It was scary. Also cost me $42,000 a year. So I do feel your pain about how much you have to pay. But I go back to school, and a young man comes up to me, one of the younger students, about my daughter's age, I think, and says, you're up to over 35, aren't you? Yeah, yeah. He says, that means you were a lawyer before the internet. I said, yeah. I said, I went to law school at Smith for a little bit of typo writer. They didn't have portable computers yet. He says, how did you do it? How did you learn the law without computers? I just don't understand. He said, you know, computers are wonderful things. It was exciting. The fact that we had these magical things that help us learn the law. They're called books. He says, books? Yeah, books. They have paper and aluminum. Then that. He says, but what's that really slow? I said, I'll tell you what. There's a process in the law known as shepherdization. It's off of a service. It tells you if you have a court opinion, they will turn around and cite other cases that have talked about that. So if you have a court opinion that talks about this certain type of property, you can go to the Shepherd book and find every other case that mentions this case. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll make you a bet. You hop on your little computer screen, and I love computers too, I'm a technical. I said, you hop on yours, and I'm going to go to books, and let's see if we can find more cases quicker. Grandpa, it was quick. Books are treasure troves, and not everything, despite Google's desire, is on the web yet.
Go to the books, and you will learn all kinds of exciting things. And yes, some books are still on the internet, and that's a great thing, okay? Let's go to the book. Every adventure starts with a good book. Ever see Indiana Jones? He always opens the dusty book. This adventure will start with one, too. It's called Black's Law Dictionary. It is the treasure trove of law. Black's Law Dictionary. Black was a guy in the 1800s. No, I didn't know him either. But Black turned around and categorized all these legal definitions. It's a dictionary, but it's much more. It tells you the cases. It tells you the definitions of things. Start with Black's and you're halfway home. How does Black's define the law? Black's gives multiple definitions. Black says the law has been defined to be that which is laid down, ordained, or established. It's a rule or a method according to a phenomena of actions. In its generic sense, its rules or conducts prescribed by a controlling authority. Well, it's the solemn expression of the supreme power of the state. What does all that mean? We've come up with a simple definition. Law is rules by which civilization is ordered. It's the rule book for society.
That's what law is.
See, all of you here playing a board game, Monopoly, or Trivial Pursuit, or something, there's a rule book in there. But at the end of the day, there's a rule book in there. Guess what? The law is the rule book for everything we do and how society structures itself. It's how civilization is ordered. What are the components of the law? Rules. Number one. They're pronounced or laid down by controlling authority. Somebody in power is making the rules. If you're living under a king, it's the king. If you're living in a free society like us, it's a legislature. That's who makes the laws. They have to be consistent. Because the law changes, you don't know if one day you're driving down the road and there's no signs telling you what the speed limit is, and one day the sign says it's 35, and the next day they say it's 70, and you don't know what it is, guess what? You can't follow that. It's a lousy law. So it's got to be consistent. It's got to be long-lasting. It's also got to be enforceable. A law that can't be enforced is a lousy law. And I use the speed limit for a reason. Back around the time that many of you were born, actually lived, we raised the national speed limit from 55 to 65. Matter of fact, you go to places like Montana, they don't have one. Big Sky State, Montana, drive back. They just say it's a car and go. But we raised it from 55 to 65 for a reason. Anybody know why? You all went drive back. Why did Congress do it? Anybody got an idea? Actually, first more gas, that's why they went from 45 to 45. Why do you think they raised gas? Exactly! Jenny is awesome. Nobody was driving 55. As a result of that traffic right on the highway, was going to 70. A law that's not followed is bad, and Congress basically got the idea that, hey, listen, we shouldn't do that.
Everybody's waiting.
So they race. That's an example. Okay. What are types of laws? Look, there's a structure of law. The highest level of law is the Constitution. We have the oldest and first constitution of the world. Now, those folks in Britain argue with that. They say theirs is older. We talk about the Magna Carta, which is the foundation of it. But there's a difference between the British Constitution and ours. Theirs is not written down. It's not in one document. Ours is. Ours was the first written, complete, consolidated constitution in the world. And everybody else followed it. The Constitution is the ultimate rule book. It sets up your government, and it provides your rights. Recognize it. Okay? The second level of law, which is underneath the Constitution, is statutes. Statutes are laws passed by a legislature.
Washington, D.C., there are federal laws passed by the federal government, the Congress,
in the state, they're passed by the state legislature.
You have case law. That's law pronounced by courts. That is really telling you what those statutes in the Constitution mean.
Then you have regulations. Regulations are what governmental agencies, like environmental conservation,
will tell you what their interpretation in enforcing that statute means, the regulation. And lastly, you have executive orders. They're the lowest level.
That's when the president or the governor directs his employees on how to behave with respect to an area of law. Okay?
We are, the United States, by our Constitution, a Republican, with a small r, form of government. What does that mean? Anybody know?
We elect people to Congress to decide on
exactly. A democracy, which was in ancient Greece, the whole town would get together and design a law. That is someone arduous between that groups of people, including elected officials, and I was one, can't always agree amongst themselves, add hundreds of thousands of people to that, it's even harder. We have a Republican form of government, that means that we have elected representatives. They run for office, and then they represent us. The Constitution says not only do you have to have a Republican form of government for the federal government, where you elect United States senators and congresspeople, but every state has to have that form too. Every state in the United States, except for one, has a two-house legislature. They model after what the federal government does. Matter of fact, the federal government really modeled after what the states did. The state had it first. But there's one state that doesn't play the same way. They have a one-house legislature because everybody wants to be a senator. They think it's a more intelligent cut. Anybody know what that is? No. Somebody can come up with it. Or next time, I'll give you a point on your final grade.
Okay.
Why?
Sorry?
Why?
No.
We're not going to go through the names. By the way, the District of Columbia is not a state.
We have
three parts of government. Separation of powers. You have the executive?
Yes.
You looked it up. Come up and see me at the conference. He looked it up on his cell phone. Wonderful. Okay, my kids make fun of me. I got to tell a quick story first. My kids make fun of me because I am never far from my iPad. Yes, I am a computer. And they always say, whenever we have an argument, you just look it up on Google.
We have three separations of powers in both the federal and the state government. We have a judiciary, we have an executive, and we have a legislature.
The executive, the United States president, the legislative is the Congress, the Senate, and the House of Representatives.
And the judiciary is the federal judiciary. That's prescribed in the federal constitution. In the state, we have the governor,
the legislature,
legislatures, the Senate, and the State Assembly. And then we have the state courts. The federal courts, the highest court, pay attention for a second because this is going to be on the case. The highest court of the United States of America is what? The Supreme Court of the United States. What's the highest court in New York? Court of Appeals. Good Lord. Awesome. Court of Appeals is the highest court. Supreme Court, upside down in New York, that's the lowest state court. So we're back. The Court of Appeals in the federal system is in the middle. Just nomenclature. Okay? So. Okay. Why do I run through this stuff?
That's political science class.
But in order to understand property, you need to understand rights. And in order to understand rights, you need to understand government. Because government protects our rights. First couple classes are going to be about where rights came from and how property interacts with that. There are four postulates of property law. And the first one is property is a collection of rights, not a collection of goods. In order to understand property, you need to understand the law. In order to understand the law, you need to understand rights. They're all together. This journey is going to be about that. Take a 5-minute break, come back here, we'll do our exercise, don't get it.
What's your name?
Jordan Schrock. It's S-C-H-R-O-C-K. Right there.
Yep.
All right, thank you.
There you go, my buddy. What do you got?
Thank you.
about it. Well, this next one is all up your alley.
And under New York State law, in order to get yourself on a ballot
and one for office appears that he can vote for, you got to circulate petitions. You turn around and have to get a threshold of community support before you're allowed. One for Congress, you're going to need 1,000 people to sign your name in your party to say, I want that person on the ballot. You won't do that. Congratulations. Good job. Way to go. You now want to head to the general election. In a general election, the nominated candidate that is out there runs a campaign. I have provided to all of you for when you get tired tonight and need to fall asleep, a campaign plan. This campaign plan shows you everything you need to do to run for office effectively. And believe me, there's a lot. I run campaigns all the way from my own on the local level, county legislator for 18 years, all the way up to the presidency of the United States. I've worked on it. I ran the Attorney General's campaign several years ago. It's a lot involved in it. And you know what? A lot of ways it's harder to run on the local level than it is on the national. Okay? You can hire a lot of stuff done on the national level. But you guys are just average Joes. As a result of that, you're just running for Congress on shoe leather, shaking hands and meeting your neighbors and talking. You've got to go to the press, you've got to do campaign filings, you run into Congress, there's a Federal Election Commission, you've got to keep track of all the money people give to you. In the federal wise, you only collect $1,000 per person. That sounds like a lot of money, and it is. If you collect $1,000 from everybody, you're doing great. Most people give you 5, 10, 20 if you're a nice person. But because you don't want this, like your pals with Ross Perot, your buddies with Warren Buffett, you don't want to turn around and say, here's a billion and have a fun time. Under federal law, only can raise 1,000. State legislative candidates have a higher level of need than that. They can raise up to 5 cents for a registered voter for a state senate campaign. They're looking at about $8,000 to $9,000, depending on the size of the campaign. You hold your debates, you talk to each other, you press all of you. Turn around. Those who support Tom, raise your hand. Those who support Craig, raise your hand. Tom, you got my nose. Go off to Washington. Good luck. You're going to save it.
All right.
Okay? Tom? Congratulate Tom. He's now our congressman. Gentlemen, he worked his butt off, and it wasn't close. As a result of that, he still wants to be involved in public service. You turn around and say, Congress was too high dogs. I think I'm going to run for state list. And you decide that you're going to become a state assembly. State assembly districts are 130,000. Congressional districts are 700,000. So it's a little bit closer to your neighborhood. And you kick butt in your neighborhood. People like you. As a result, friend, you're now a state assemblyman. Go and take your seat in the state assembly. Congratulations. Now, Craig turned around. Craig, what's the biggest issue that you think needs to change in the world? Well, just name something that you're probably not controversial. We don't want to have to come to the public. like worry the
corporate finance thing is just really
corporate finance is what?
Well, just businesses make so much money and they're greedy. I feel like there should be some regulation as far as that goes. So the middle class.
How do you regulate? This is the process by which we go over the book and law. How would you regulate? How would you change that? You can't just say greed is not illegal. Because what is greed? You use something like greedy to a greedy person, so much. Right? So what do you think we can do to change greed? Sorry? Capital gains tax. This is the state legislature. No, hold it. That's the
corporations would have to be taxed more than regular people and sort of reinvest wealth in
the
community. How would you do what? I'm not sure.
Okay. Why don't we go on something that can be more than the city council? Okay? Not that we don't love to work. Okay. I can give you a million ideas, but I'm not going to do that this year. Okay? I'm going to give you one that maybe you want. It's a little bit easier.
Okay?
Everyone here in this room has a challenge. Every year, you have to cut a rather big check for your education. That check gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I am a second generation SUNY person. My daughter is third. I believe in the state university. It's a great institution. But back when my dad was here, it was free. No tuition. When I went here, and I realized that George Washington was in my class. But back when I went here, who bought tuition books? 2,500 books. Every full drop. Okay? Now, I used to push shopping carts to the Price Chopper. We do more, I used to wear a horrible lime green apron, and used to be able to make my college tuition. Do me that. None of you here in this room can do that anymore. Why? Because the cost of college tuition has dramatically increased over the rate of inflation. As it kept this. Not trying to steer you in a direction, but this may be something that's near and dear to this heart. What can we do to reduce the cost of that college education? So all of you don't have to borrow the cost of a house merely to go to college. What do you think? That won't agree, but maybe it will do some good. What would you like to do to solve that problem?
Well, we can just basically lower the tuition for the university.
Okay. Where would you get the money?
Fundraising at the other states. I think we're taxing the president, so why not apply to that?
The cost of college education at SUNY used to be fully subsidized by the state tax. Right now, the state taxpayers actually do subsidize a huge amount of more of it than you think, because we also finance student loans. We also finance things like TAP, which is an assistance program. How about we turn around and do a bill that says free tuition after not one more, you have paid for that anyway. But free tuition at SUNY schools and do away with all other funding sources. So no more TAP, no more SUNY loans, because you don't need them and make SUNY. What do you think? Okay. Pray introduces a bill to do that. Who wants to be a senator? Raise your hand. Okay. All the way in the back of it. Bob Cooper. Or Bob Cooper. He was a catcher. He used to broadcast games for the Milwaukee Brewers. And he used to sit in the seat that nobody else would want to hold. That's what. Now, I expect you to get here early and be way up front. What's your name? Clayton? Clayton? That's a very expensive thing. Okay. Clayton is a state senator. What do you think of this bill?
I hate it.
Okay. You need a Senate sponsor. You can come in and play on this a bit. Okay. I need a Senate sponsor. Who wants to get? Stand up.
Helen,
sweet Helen was in my class for corporations. She suffered through me twice. She gets extra points. Helen's a state senator. Do you like this bill, Helen?
Yes.
You want to introduce it?
Sure.
Awesome. We got bills in both houses. Okay. I need another state senator. All right. Annette, you are chair of the education committee. Okay. To which this bill goes. We need another assembly. Yes, what's your name? I got a stereo. What's your name? We'll go with you first, and then we'll go with her. Come here. Come here. Okay. Stand up. You are chairman of the Assembly Education Committee. Who is this? What's your name?
Gina,
you stand up. You are chairman of Ways and Means. That's the fiscal committee. So, Clayton, back to you, my buddy. Stand up. Where are you from, Clayton?
Rochelle.
New Rochelle. Westchester. You are chair of the Senate Finance. You have left your bill. Okay. You guys can sit down. Yeah. Bill comes before your committee. You gotta ask her to report it out. You gotta have a committee which consists of an assembly that's 150 members. You gotta have the majority of those people on that committee and the assembly that dictates the education committee has gotta be 20, 30 people. So it's 30 that 16 in favor. You hold the committee and it's close. People say we like the idea, but we don't know if we have to worry. You think we've got about 16 or 7. How's it looking? That's true to do.
Hey, Gina, can you report that bill out for me?
What's it going to take? Assuming he comes forward and he sits as a member of the committee and gives the most stellar passion speech
about how everyone will now have a job because of getting a college education. How SUNY once again will be a stellar flagship of all educational institutions in the world. Because it's free, and everybody will want to come there. You got 16 votes, you report it out. It's your rule, Chairman. You're the one that puts it on the agenda. Take that report. There you go, Dean. There you go. Okay. Set it up. You ask the chairman of the Senate to report your bill. How are we looking? Those senators are enlightened swords, aren't they? They report it out for you. But you got a problem. The Clayton-ator. Clayton, stand up. You got a problem. Which means you have a problem. So you try and push this through ways and means first. Simply because try and push it first to get a little distinct. Okay. Ways and means, where are we? You're not ways and means. Screw that. You're waiting to stand. Now, Lincoln means it's the biggest committee, the one that everyone wants to be on. Why is that? Why is it the most power? Money! Money talks, baby! You control a budget of $134 billion. That's a lot. They're back somewhere around in the year on the 14th largest public budget on the planet. Pretty cool. Yeah. As a result, so is the plate maker. Okay? He's got to keep you guys a butt. But you don't all agree, that's what it means. How you feeling on the bill? Okay, tell me about your tell the sponsor, this is a little who controls the bill. What's that? How would you delineate that? How will demographics of where students live change?
Some areas is in a certain area.
Yeah, but what about a billionaire who lives in Harvard? What do you think on these matters?
I think they're there. How much these people are going to have to pay, they're going to have to pay.
Double encouragement to be supporting community services and
Yes, keep up.
Good afternoon, Governor. I'm here to address the nearby location.
What's your problem with the village? You said that problem with the village, sir. You came to my concern about the amendments.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Let's see if we can bridge this gap. And you know, the world does not operate in this development. You're just waiting for them to take the action on the page. Now, the world's not a vacuum. This is not the only issue that you have to give it up. Annette, great one. Born in Schenectady, huh? You've been living in Florida? Where? What region is that? Good woman! Alright. So Schenectady, where is she back? Okay. The next says, not free fair. For everybody to have free ride. When some people are working their cookies off, and others are not. When somebody is out there, as we have said in the parlay, hipping the elbow, party animal, they shouldn't have the same rights to create. Who's that, right? Okay. Then they got a lot of other problems. Okay. This book, we're going to offer as a compromise. Thank you enough to maybe it addresses you. Okay? Right now, if you have served your country, the United States military, or the National Guard, get a copy of it. Start it up. I wrote the law, I'm very happy to do it. What? Combat veterans, National Guard members, it's already on the page. Disadvantaged people, right now, are on the page too, but this bill does away with those benefits. Because it just never got to what they do it. So income restrictions for the UGBNFA. Yes. Can we meet the middle and say, regardless of income, because we're in law in respect is not coming as kids here, right? As soon as he becomes equal to spot yet, but right now it's not. So why don't we suggest the following? We suggest community service. We're already doing that with people in the military, right? That's a form of reason. In order to get this, you have to give X hours of community service in order to qualify. Now, you raise a great point, Clayton. Certain students can't take time for community service. Right?
Right.
So there have to be exceptions there. Or those other activities have to count as community service. What's your thoughts?
Well, in the fact that finance says yes. You can sit down. What do you mean says yes?
wrong spot. You happen to be in the chamber that day. Assembly, inside. Assembly, do you want that bill as crafted? Raise your hand. Nobody?
Come on, Jay.
Nobody? Say it. Do you want that bill? Raise your hand. Pass it to Senate. The assembly has got some problems. Those of you who voted no, or didn't vote at all, tell me why. Anyway.
Well, I'm about to get to it. They have a lot of revenue that they get from students and people paying tuition. We have subsidized student for all the student schools. So it creates a budgetary problem to see.
Yeah, but they're taking away all the other programs.
Right. It'll probably be multiple classes in different systems. We might have to add to that program because of that.
Well, it certainly doesn't go to budget.
Right, we won't be able to substitute out there.
How would you fix that?
I wouldn't go as far as admissions, but those people who stay and work within New York after they graduate, if you find some type of job, it should then be exempt from the ones they need to pay.
You can't rewrite the entire bill.
Yeah, but I would choose it.
What else? Anybody else?
Well, the rich people who send their kids to the Ivy League do not want to pay the tax to subsidize the
school. They're not going to reduce them really well. The rich people just will move out of state if you don't have action. Right. Who else? Huh? Well, is the bill okay as is? You can get out of here singing. Those in favor? Okay! The bill passes! One more hurdle, and we're done. Who wants to be governor? You want to talk to us?
Thank you.